Good morning and welcome everyone. Praise the Lord. We'll be starting in just a minute. All right, praise the Lord. We're ready to get started. Just 1 minute past the top of the hour. And welcome again. Let's get started with prayer. I'll ask Lady Evan to go ahead and pray over the room. Welcome.
Amen. Good morning. You have created, Lord, a safe place for us to come and fellowship one with another. Our fellowship is with you and with one another. We are grateful. We thank you for peace and rest. We thank you, Lord, for providing for our needs according to your riches in glory. And renewing our desire to serve you. Renew our desire to continue. Lord, Father, never depart from us, O Lord. Help us not walk away from you in the name of Jesus. We pray that our children will not walk away from you, but they will continue to serve you, to love you with all of their heart, with all of their might, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, what means as he's preparing, also delivering the message of today, we ask, O Lord, that you will speak through him, Lord, that you will bless the work of his hands. Every word that comes out of his mouth, Lord, will be ordered from above in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here and those who are assigned to be here today. You bring them on in one by one in the name of Jesus. And you will take all the glory and all the honor. And those who are going to respond as we respond to the message of today, Lord, they will speak like the oracle of God. And even as the pastor speaks at the oracle of God, we give you all the glory and all the honor, all the majesty in Jesus' mighty name. And we take authority over every contrary spirit that we have no part of in us in Jesus' name. Or we pray that everything will go well. The volumes will be okay. Everybody will hear what we are saying. We will not be muted when we are talking in the name of Jesus. Father, take control. Release your spirit, O Lord. Release the angels to watch over this room. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray and I yield my mic. Welcome, everyone.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, honey, for the prayers. Good morning and good afternoon. Yes, we pray that the Lord will take control. I've seen some early signs of network trouble this morning, but I pray that it will be well in Jesus' name. Amen. Glad to have you join us. Praise the Lord. God bless everyone. It is well.
Oh,
Majestic is thy name, Lord. Glorious.
Majesty, Lord above. God is a champion. Hallelujah. He's a King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Forevermore. Praise the Lord. Our God is a champion, and He reigns forever and forever. Praise the Lord. Good morning and good afternoon and welcome everybody to fellowship. Praise the Lord. You're live with us on our Walking with God platform. And this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord. I want to get into this lesson right away. After a quick prayer, I will get into it. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, again for this day and for the fellowship, for this hour of power gathered together, Lord. Receive strength and grace from your word. Hallelujah. And as we fellowship around this word, we thank you because it is written. And so we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. Thank you for this work that you are doing in us. Thank you, Lord, for reigniting the fire and rekindling the flame in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, and inspiring a compelling motivation, you know, in our hearts to want to be among the number. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The number of those that you would choose and you have chosen. It's any day when I make up my jewels, ha, shall be my royal diadems. We give you, Lord, the praise. We give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Good morning. We're back in the Romans chapter 8 study. And I think we're going to finish up today on the glorification of the sons of God, at least the lesson part. We've been talking about that for several days now, 3 or so days. And I was laying out, a few attributes of the sons of God, which I call the anatomy of the sons of God, that align us with Christ. And we see what Christ is, and we see parallel attributes in the sons of God. And that's what we've been talking about the last couple of days. As a reminder, you know, Christ was to be the firstborn among many brethren. God predetermined that those whom he called, he predestinated them, which is us, really, to be conformed to the image of the Christ. So our end state is to be like the Christ. No matter what the current state looks like, the end state is to be exactly like Christ. And during that process, we must yield to the Holy Spirit. And as he reveals these attributes in us that we are to be like the Christ, well, let us collaborate with the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'm going to continue and try to finish up. I have talked about multiple characteristics of the sons of God. And I had about 24 or 24 to go through. And I think I don't know, maybe I made it through about 18 or so. We talked about the last few ones we talked about yesterday, sons of God understand their ranking in the kingdom, you know, break their ranks. You know, they know how to hold their place and still go out in the marketplace. We understand that sons of God are seated with Christ in heavenly places. They are learning the kingdom and dominion. And I love the Lord with all their heart and love their neighbors as themselves. These are the things the Lord talked to us about. And the Lord said that ye are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I think that's where we ended yesterday. Matthew 5, 13 to 14. And I believe that was number 8 of my list of 24 attributes. I want to go on to the rest of them. Number 19, I think that was number 18 yesterday. Sons of God are growing from childhood to sonship and perfection like Christ. When they come into the fullness of the sonship, and remember, I said every time I use the word they, it's the same as we, because we are, you know, the Bible says now are we the sons of God. So, growing from childhood to sonship and perfection like Christ. This is the goal and this is the process. Galatians 4 and 19, Paul reveals his prayer for the believers that he was ministering to in Galatia. He said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, till Christ be formed in you. Now, when Christ is formed fully in us, well, we will be just like the Christ. We will be in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That may seem far-fetched now, but it isn't, because that's what God promised. Jesus himself said that, you know, you must be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. And what does this perfection look like? We have talked about it. It is when we become fully like the Christ. Luke chapter 6, verse 40 says, no disciple is above the master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So, as we're going through discipleship, sitting at the feet of Jesus with the Holy Spirit, as he is molding us, becoming more and more like the Christ. And finally, according to John chapter 17, verse 22, something beautiful is going to emerge, you know. And what is it going to be like? Well, Ephesians 4:13 says we will be just like him. We're growing in the knowledge of him, coming unto a perfect man, and we are going to be in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, got all the fullness of Christ, just like Christ had all the fullness of God. Now that is the end state, and we must not lose sight of that. It's what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's called the glorification of the sons of God. Bring us to the place where we're shining forth with the glory of the Christ. Number 20. The sons of God are being transformed from glory to glory until we become just like the Christ. Same thing that I just said. But 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 tells us, there's a song we sing out of that also, that we're changing and it's changing us from glory to glory. We are being transformed, and also through the reading of the words, spending time in His presence, praying and, you know, hearing the Word of God, we see that there is a transformation process that is going on. And suddenly, one day, when we are fully grown into His stature, we will be transfigured into the complete likeness of Christ. Well, for now, He says, we are being changed into the same image. Remember, that was what God said in the beginning. Let us make man in our image. If that was His plan, well, that plan is going to be fully, fully revealed and completed in us at the end. Image and likeness of the Christ. They're going from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing to know that the Lord is working on us. We should not be the same as we were yesterday. What I am today should be a higher glory than I was yesterday. And tomorrow will be yet another higher glory until we arrive, you know, at that fixed body from where the wonders will flow. Praise God. And even along the way, wonders should be flowing. Praise the Lord. Now, these are some of the characteristics that will be found in the sons of God at the end. How do you identify them? Well, all these things I've been talking about. We started out with Romans 8 and 14, where he said, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And then we went into many other characteristics. Now, number 21, the sons of God are overcomers. And they are more than conquerors. They also realize and know that nothing can separate them from the love of the Father. We'll see that in the later part of this same Romans chapter 8 when we get there. They can endure hardness and go through stuff. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. They also understand, you know, that, you know, to be glorified with Christ, we must have and partake, we must share and partake in the sufferings of Christ as well. Number 22, sons of God are tried and purified. They are ready to take on the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. And they love not their lives unto the death. Praise the Lord. Love not their lives unto the death. How are they being purified? Malachi 3 and verse 3 says, you know, as gold, you know, in the fire, are being purified. The sons of the kingdom are being purified. And when they are ready, they will shine forth in the glory of God. And it's happening. It's gradually here a little and there a little. The Lord shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. This one says sons of Levi, but I say we shall purify the sons of God and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord offering in righteousness. This is what the Lord is doing in our lives even now, purging us. Hallelujah. Philippians 1:29. There's an understanding that we must be partakers of his sufferings. We've talked about that even in the beginning of this section, where we said Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Philippians 1:29 says, or it is given unto you on the behalf of Christ. That's right. Not only to believe on his name, but to partake in his sufferings. I mean, those things go hand in hand. And that is the way to our glorification. But Jesus said that himself. Ought not the Christ, Luke chapter 24, you know, have suffered all these things in order to enter into his glory? So this partaking of the sufferings of Christ will also lead to us being glorified in him. We are given not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And it is the glory of God that will be revealed in us through all of those sufferings. It leads to glorification. Christ himself, he said so, that he had to go through that, all the series of sufferings, in order for him to enter into his glory. And that's the same way it must be for us. Luke chapter 24 and verse 25 or verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and then or thereafter enter into his glory? And that's how he did it. And that's how it will be for us. 1 Peter 5 and 10 tells us that we must go through certain sufferings, you know, for the name of the Lord and for the sake of his name. We can't do it any other way. These are the ways that God promised us that glorification. You know, here's what he said. But the God of all grace has called us unto his eternal glory. Well, that's the end state, that we shall be in that eternal glory by Christ Jesus after that you have suffered a while. Well, then he make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we cannot separate a life in Christ, you know, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, shall suffer, you know, persecution, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yeah, that's part of the package. And Jesus said, well, you know, if we suffer for him, or the Bible says so, we shall also reign with him. Now, however, if we deny him, he also will deny us. If we shy away from, you know, sufferings for Christ, we are unable to deny ourselves. We still love our own life. We still love our own flesh. You know, we're not ready to despise the shame or anything that anyone would even throw at us because of Christ. We must be ready to take it. That's what leads to this glorification that we're talking about. Praise the Lord. So here are some other scriptures that the sons of God must recognize. You know, in the book of Philippians, you know, chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul talks about the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. You know, it's a fellowship, you know, we are there together with him, you know. So one time Jesus asked his disciples, will you pray with me for an hour? But they couldn't do it. You know, they went asleep. He came back and asked them, will you watch with me for an hour? And they didn't do it. Went away again and came back. So it took Christ two or three times as long as it would have taken him if they had stood with him in prayer. You know, the first time, we should have been enough. They are praying along. So we must stand within the fellowship, both of prayers and travailing for the saints, You know, when Jesus went away in that particular situation, he was traveling in prayer for the saints. In fact, the Bible depicts him as, you know, in so much agony while he was praying for the saints that even the sweat that was coming from his head was as though it was drops of blood. As Luke chapter 22 verse 44. First of all, he was praying to the point that he was sweating, but it was like he was sweating blood. Now that is some prayer. And what was he, you know, agonizing about so much? There was a wrestling that he had to yank all the stuff that the devil had taken, you know, the souls of men, the minds of men that devil had captured. Jesus had to wrestle them out of the devil's hands. It wasn't the easiest thing, you know, but he prayed through it. He was praying. I don't know how many people have prayed till they were sweating and blood. It wasn't just sweating, you know, water and salt. He was sweating blood coming out of his head like that. Because he was going for what we call the, or the scripture calls the pearl of great price. And he wanted to get it. And thanks be to God that he got it. He got the victory. That's the reason why you and I are here today. And we must be ready also to travel in prayer, not only for ourselves, but also for all those that are still trapped in the valley of decision, those who are ordained unto eternal life, but are still trapped. And that's what Jesus was doing, praying for them, get them out of there, you know, and he did. Glory to God. In the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, we're told that this man-child company or sons of God are caught up to the throne of God. You know, there is something special or a characteristic of their lives. It's that they are overcomers. They overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. They were sold out. Didn't care if they died or lived. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Ready. I'll go all the way. Praise the Lord. You know, those who are still loving their lives, Jesus said, well, except a man deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me, cannot be my disciple. And so these sons of God were shown many ways by which they overcome the devil. Well, one is through the blood of the Lamb, which we know Jesus paid as a ransom for the world. Number two is through their testimony. That's right. And we have spoken about that in the past. That you must use your testimony while you are within the conflict, while you are in the battle. Do not wait until the battle is over only before you can testify. If you do, yeah, it's not really a weapon at that point. For it to be a weapon that will help you to overcome the devil, you must use it even during the conflict and during the battle. And so, you know, you got to stand in the testimony of the Lord, even while you are going through. For instance, someone is faced and challenged with health situations. Well, you must stand with the testimony of the Lord and begin to declare, even before you see or receive your complete healing, well, begin to declare that I am the Lord that healeth thee, is what the Lord has said concerning me. You know, furthermore, the Lord has said, I will not put upon you any of these sicknesses upon the Egyptians. You begin to stand in that word of testimony and begin to declare it even before you see it. Praise the Lord. And so for every other situation, Sometimes, you know, things that we're believing God for that the devil's really fighting tooth and nail, make sure we don't get it. Or you use your word of testimony to declare that the Lord said, I have set before you an open door. Glory to God. No man shall shut it. Begin to declare the word of God as part of, you know, your battle, you know, to get to the finish line and the victory. In the book of Acts chapter 14 verse 22, you know, the scripture tells us that there are many tribulations that we must go through in order to get into the kingdom. There's no other way to do it. You know, Paul was exhorting the disciples, confirming the souls, their souls, and exhorting them to continue in faith, we're told, Acts 14 and 22, and that we must, that's a must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah, that's it. There's no shortcut around it. And these things strengthen us when we already know that, you know, the victory is assured us at the end. You know, so Jesus promised many things to the overcomers. You know, in the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3, there are many, many promises to overcomers. He that overcometh, finally, he said, you know, shall sit with me in my throne. Glory to God. Revelation 3 and 21. Will sit with me in my throne. That's again the height of the glorification. You sit with Christ in his throne, even as he overcame and is set with his Father in his throne. What is his throne? Well, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 66, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. There's plenty of room in heaven. Oh, yes, you know, to sit with him in his throne. Glory to God. You know, that's many, many promises. And Revelation 21 verse 7, he talks about he that overcometh shall inherit all things. You know, just like Christ is the one that was able to take that book in Revelation 5. All overcomers, you know, the sons of God, they also will inherit all things. Bible calls them joint heirs with Christ. Now, everything that Christ owns, which is everything, well, the overcomers and the sons of God will also inherit everything. We talked about joint heirs versus co-heirs earlier in this series. Co-heirs is a division. You divide it up. If I own 10 things, and I have 5 heirs, or maybe I give one 3, I give one 2, I give one 1, or I give it 2, 2, 2 each. You divide it up, that's co-heirs. But if they are joint heirs, each one of them owns all the 10 things. You know, so that's the difference. You know, we don't only get a portion of what Christ has, yet everything. He said, all the glory have I given to them as well that I had with you from the beginning. Praise the Lord. But we understand as real sons of God, just like Christ went through, we also must go through many things. Praise the Lord. Many things. And being confident in this one thing, that he that hath begun the good work in us will perform it unto the day of Christ. Listen to this in 1 Peter, you know, chapter 2 and verse 21. Many, many exhortations the Lord tells us, you know, to know that there's a lot of things that we must pass through, you know, but we must endure a lot of things. He said, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, well, you know, he called it thankworthy. What glory is it if you are buffeted for your faults? You take it patiently. You know, there's nothing about that because you deserve the suffering. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, then this is acceptable, you know, with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Remember, we're drawing a parallel between the life of Christ and the sons of God. Christ left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who did no sin? Neither was God found in his mouth. You know, who when he was reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's right. So, we also must follow after the same pattern of endurance. Christ, who despised the shame and endured the cross, you know, we also must follow after the pattern of endurance. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8, in this text, verse 17 that we're in, the sufferings, you know, of this present time are not even worthy, you know, to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And that glory is what Christ had. We will have the same because we are called joint heirs with him. He says, if we are children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Numerous scriptures that tell us over and over again that we got to go through that. Praise the Lord. In the book of Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, we see also the scriptures telling us pretty much the same things that we have been talking about. You know, he says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and wicked generation, well, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Ashamed means, no, I don't want him in my company. Yes, none of me, none of mine. So we don't want that. We must stand steadfast. And the Lord will enable us. If you are determined in your heart, not only to say, yes, Lord, but also to do his will, the Holy Spirit will help us. Praise the Lord. All right. I think we covered all of that. Let me give you a couple more quickly. The sons of God will, at the end also, be raised up and will be with the Lord. We see wherever he goeth. We see in John chapter 6, verses 37 to 40, Jesus talks about it. Numerous times he talks about not losing any of his, but raising them up at the last day. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, And him that cometh to me will I in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. And he said, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing. I and the children that God has given me, Isaiah 8 and 18, are for signs and wonders. I should lose none of them, but raise them up again at the last day. You know, and this is the will of him that sent me. Furthermore, he said, that every one of them seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. See, he has already said, I will raise him up there two or three times at the last day. That is an assurance. Now, if you believe the Lord and love him with all your heart, and you come into this kingdom, I will raise him up at the last day. It's a promise. Raise him up either from the grave, if they died before that last day, whatever that last day is with the Lord, or if they are still alive and remain, raise him up anyhow. I will raise him up from the ground to meet those who coming out that I raised out of the grave. Either raised out of the grave or raised up from the ground, I will be raised up one way or another. He will lose none of them. Glory to God. And he will get them all. We thank God for that confidence. Praise God. And in the book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 5, which we alluded to, he said, this woman that was travailing in birth, trying to bring forth something, before whom the red dragon stood trying to devour that thing, well, she did bring forth, and the devil couldn't devour. And her child was caught up to the throne of God. Hallelujah. It was caught up finally. But notice that this woman went through a lot. You know, John said, I saw, you know, this woman clothed with the sun, crown of, you know, 12 stars on her head and so forth, moon under her feet and all of these things. And she was in pain, travailing to give birth. She was pregnant, ready to give birth. The dragon stood right in front of her. You are not going to bring forth that baby. And if you do, I'm going to devour it at once. Well, he failed on both accounts. Not only did she bring forth that baby, a child was caught up to God and to his throne. And that child will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Praise the Lord. So the devil lost. And because he lost, he was furious and went to persecute the rest of the seed of that woman. Well, some will be caught up in the translation. Others will face tremendous persecutions from the devil. We see that right here. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said, pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that are coming and to be able to stand before the Son of Man. Now, Jesus wouldn't ask us to pray for something if that's not the case. I mean, if it wasn't possible. Well, but it is possible. Otherwise, he wouldn't ask us to pray. Luke 21 and 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy. Escape all these things. I've been talking about terrible things that will happen in the great tribulation. You know, all these things shall come to pass, Jesus said. But some will escape. And he asked us to pray. Glory to God. When you escape, where are you escaping to? Well, you escape those things and then you stand before the Son of Man. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says, well, you know, these sons of God who so escape and go to be with the Lord in that manner, they will go and be with him wheresoever he goeth. Jesus will pray that prayer. I pray that those whom you have given me will behold my glory and will be with me where I am. I asked people to read John chapter 17 the other day. It's in that prayer. In Revelation chapter 14, you know, verse 4, we are told that these sons of God, number one, you know, they are clean, not defiled by religious dogma and systems. You know, they are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. You know, so there are many fruits and many gleanings that God has. Just like a farmer at harvest time. He has plowed, he has sowed, I mean, he has tilled the ground, he has watered the thing, and he has hoped for harvest, and now it is harvest. The vineyard that begins to blossom with fruit. At first, you know, it's a little here and a little there. You know, they don't all the fruit don't all ripen at once. So when it begins to see the ripe fruit, one here, one there, one here, he comes in with a basket. Because, you know, let's say just a handful. And, you know, picks them up. And all he needs is a basket, or maybe a couple of baskets. And that's it. The first fruits. But later on, when the harvest is full, and all the fruit ripen, well, they are no longer first fruits. And this man can no longer use a basket. You know, cause now he needs to bring a truck, you know, to put all the ripe fruit in. Well, so there are indeed first fruits and there are also later fruits, but the wine dresser or the, husbandman, he's going to get them all. First fruits, he'll get them. Whether they were later in harvest, he'll get them all. He'll lose none of them. But some will ripen first, called first fruits. And later on, all the others ripen together. But he'll get them all. I will lose none of them. Praise the Lord. So we thank him for that. It's powerful. If you understand it, your heart will rejoice and praise the Lord. Finally, sons of God shall reign with Christ. Now, they begin their reign even in life, according to Romans chapter 5. They begin to reign once they understand these things. You know, they understand how the ordinances of heaven work and how to set the dominion upon the earth. They begin to understand that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places far above principalities and power. We don't have the power right now to change things in the way of the world, but we have the power in the heavens. If you understand how the ordinances of heaven work, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 11 to 12 tells us that when we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Praise the Lord. It is a, you know, faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Now, if we deny him, he also will deny us. Yeah. And if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus wraps up many. Let me tell you some of the promises that he gives to the overcomers in the second and third chapter of the book of Revelation. For each of those churches that he wrote to, you know, there was an introduction of himself, you know, reveal himself in a certain way, either he's holding the seven stars, either he walking in the midst of the golden candlesticks, either the sharp swords going out of his mouth, or whatever. you know. And then there is a review of their works. I know thy works and thy labor and so forth, you know. And then, you know, sometimes there is rebuke and sometimes there is commendation. And then there is always a promise. Glory to God. You know, to those in Ephesus, which was the one of the seven churches, the first one that John was commanded to write to, here's what he promised. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Well, Adam should have eaten of it, but they didn't get around to do it. God drove them away. You know, but these ones will eat of it. Praise the Lord. Whatever God deposited in that tree of life, which even the leaves of it will be for the healing of the nations. Well, God said, he that overcometh, I will give him the right to that tree of life. You know, to the church in Smyrna, he said, he that hath an ear. He always said that too. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to churches. And he that overcometh shall not be hurt of this second death, which is casting into lake of fire. They will not experience that. Praise the Lord. To those in Pergamos, you know, he said, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. And in that stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth but he that receives it. Many promises like that. To those in Tyra, you know, he's also promised some powerful things. He said, well, if you overcome and keep my works unto the end, I'll give you power over the nations. And you will rule them with a rod of iron. And as a vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him, the overcomer, morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. Look at all these promises. You must overcome and keep my works to the end. You know, so this overcoming is when we are still here. You are overcoming. You are keeping his works until the end, and he will give us power over the nations. Rule them with a rod of iron, finally. And as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. He promised that, you know. And they also in chapter 3, he promised for the church in Sardis. He promised, he said, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Some names may be blotted out, but not these ones. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that overcometh, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches and to the church in Philadelphia. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. These ones will escape. We shall come upon the world, all of them, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. That's the one place where he said that. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, and let no man take your crown. This Philadelphia church, right alongside the, Laodicean church, they will escape. They will be kept. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, so Jesus said again that he that overcometh, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. Now, this is not in and out anymore. I'm going to be in his presence. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. And I will write upon him my new name. Jesus gets a new name. You get a new name. Yeah. And because you overcome. And to the church of the Laodicean, even though Jesus said, you know, there was a lot of rebuke for them. Because you said, I am rich, I am increased with goods, I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Oh my goodness. I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and get white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Well, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. But, you know, despite all of that, if they do repent and they do overcome, he said to him that overcometh, beautiful, one of the greatest promises among all those promises, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Hallelujah. Even as I overcame, even during this Laodicean church age, some will ascend and begin to experience rulership. That's what sitting on the throne means. That's right. Rulership. That's where the king sits. You know, the person that's ruled sits on the throne. You know, and prophetically and symbolically, they will also sit on the throne. Even as I overcame and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to church. And finally, in Revelation 21 and verse 7, he encapsulates everything, you know, for all believers down through the ages. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Glory to God. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We'll call the sons of God. Finally, he said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. You can come. Let him that is athirst. Ho! Isaiah 55. Everyone that is athirst, let him come and take and drink of the water of life freely. Come without money. Buy without price. Come and take it. It's free, he said. Yeah, well. And they said, if you are able to overcome, you inherit all things. The way Jesus puts all these things out tells us that, you know, there must be stuff to overcome. Otherwise, he wouldn't say he that overcometh. In the later chapter, in the later part of this chapter of Romans 8 that we're dealing with, we'll see all the things that we must need to overcome. Now, Paul will write about it. We will get to it perhaps tomorrow, you know, when we cover the rest of this chapter. All the things that we must overcome. Wherein Paul said, more than conquerors. Well, a conqueror has to fight a lot of things. An overcomer also must go through a lot. There is travail before triumph, you know, and a war and battles before victory. But if we overcome, Jesus said, shall reign with him. Finally, praise the Lord. So that's a wrap up for the children of God, the sons of God at the end, the attributes that align them to the attributes of Christ. But I want to read to you just one more thing and explain this portion. Holy Spirit just saying, you know, for me to talk about it a little bit. You know, I've alluded to this chapter 38 of Job, where God was challenging Job and asking him a lot of questions. And it's interesting to see all the things that God asked Job if he understood. Well, one of the things is what I want to just touch on briefly here. You know, in verse 33 of Job 38, the Lord asked Job, knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? And cast thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? We see the word dominion here. We see it also in the beginning. In Genesis 1, 26 to 28, we see God revealing his intention that he would create the man in his own image and likeness, and they will have dominion. Now we see God asking Job here, do you understand how to get this real dominion? You know, so let me summarize by saying there are many things that are in these scriptures that God has promised. And even sometimes the scriptures will say and talk as though we have them. Well, they are there, but not everybody will get them. Because even God is asking Job here, you understand how to get dominion? Whereas he said we will have dominion. So we see that, you know, there is an understanding that is necessary. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? The ordinances of heaven control things upon the earth. Ordinances of heaven have dominion over the earth. But do you know those ordinances? Do you understand how to set the dominion thereof in the earth? In other words, do you know how to use the ordinances of heaven to get dominion? Do you know? The Holy Spirit will reveal to the sons of God, because we must have dominion upon the earth. Not dominion in heaven, but while we are on the earth, we must have dominion. By understanding how things work in the heavens. The heavens do rule. Nebuchadnezzar was told, until you know that the heavens do rule. Well, the heavens do rule. And God has also set things, principles of how things operate. Yeah, if you understand it, well, you figure it out in the heavens, you gain an advantage upon the earth. That's how it works. Even in the dark world, they know that they do certain things in certain high places, you know, the wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Yeah, they have to go high to do these things and bring their, you know, exert their influence, wicked influence upon the earth. We also must go higher. Praise God. High above all principalities and power. We got to go higher. And you have to understand the ordinances of heaven, principles, how things work. Nothing actually happens in heaven without an unction from the throne. Praise God. Everything in heaven looks to the Lord to be enlightened. They're always there saying, holy, 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 and etc. You know, and if he stands up from the throne and walks away for whatever reason, well, there may be silence around that throne. Yeah, because he's not there. You know, and then whatever is going on, he's leading and they are following. In Revelation 14:4 that we just read says, they follow him wheresoever he goeth. So, ladies and gentlemen, there is to be had dominion upon the earth. And an understanding must return. Knowledge must return for us to have this dominion. We'll close by reading some portions of Psalm chapter 8. We're going to read portions of it. Because the sons of God will understand and will have dominion. And so, you know, we need to see what the scripture has said. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory even above the heavens. Now, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of their enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy hands, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man, you know, among all these things, that thou art mindful of him? What is the son of man? And thou visitest him in order to call him your son. You know, thou made him a little lower than the angels at first, but yet you crown him with glory and honor. This is the glorification of the church. You have made him to have dominion. Glory to God. Now, this is the purpose for which God made man, is to have dominion. I said it, Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And so sons of God will understand that God has made them to have dominion over the works of God's hands. And thou hast put all things under their feet. Well, it may not look like that now, but it is. God has done it. And those that figure it out, they will understand and get that dominion. All sheep and oxen, yea, and beasts of the field, fowl of the air, fish in the air, whatever passes through the sea. Passes through the paths of the sea. God has done it. And even man in general, begin to figure it out. They're conquering time and space. They're doing a lot of things. How much more the sons of God, when they receive true understanding, you know, and get the knowledge of the Son of God to know who they are. In order for us to know who we are, we must know who He is. That's what Ephesians chapter 4 tells us. The knowledge of the Son of God. We got to have that knowledge. When we know who He is, well, some people think of Him as, you know, just some prophet that came and did this and that. Some people think of Him as, you know, God forbid, I don't even like to say it, but I will say it, the second person in the Trinity. Now, the Bible does not talk about Trinity, and God is not a three-headed monster. There is one God. Hear, O Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 3, chapter 4 and verse 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Thou shalt love that one Lord with all thy heart. Praise God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Praise God. One body, one spirit. See, I call it one hope of your calling. One Lord too. And one faith. Not three Lords, but one Lord. Glory to God. And when you begin to understand that, you understand Isaiah 9 and 6, that unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his hand, our shoulders. This same son is called Wonderful. It's called Counselor. It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He's the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. All of it wrapped up in one. He's the Son and he's the Father at the same time. Praise the Lord, because he carries the essence of the eternal Godhead called the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's it. That's who God is. John 4 and 24. Jesus said, God is spirit. Don't think of God as human being. You can't count him. 1, 2, 3. You can't count God like that. You cannot number God. God is one Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and he's called the Holy One of Israel, never the Holy Three of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. Many scriptures, over 36 scriptures calling the Holy One of Israel. And when you begin to understand that, John 10 and 30, Jesus said, I am my Father, one. Well, you've got to understand that in order for us to know who we are. It's not because of who we are by ourselves. It's because of who he is in us. And so we must recognize who he is. And that's why the Bible says that all the work of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are doing, according to Ephesians 4:11, it says it is for the perfecting of the saints. It's for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, so that we will, in the union of the faith, come together and understand the knowledge of the Son of God. That's it. You know, we gotta come to the knowledge of the Son of God. When you have that real knowledge, then you will have the understanding. John on the Isle of Patmos, when he saw him in his regal glory, fell at his feet as dead. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am he that was dead and is alive, so that you know that that's Jesus. But yet he calls himself Alpha and Omega. He never called himself second or third or fourth. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Can't find anybody else after him. He's not the second. Jesus never called himself the second of the Trinity. He called himself Alpha and Omega. That's who he is. And so you better get it. And when we begin to understand that, that's where the power lies. When you understand who Jesus is and who he is in you. Wow. You say, but he was Jesus. I mean, was the Son of Man? Absolutely. He was born as a child, so he's got to be called the Son of somebody. Wherefore, that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. In the human flesh, he's called the Son. In the Spirit, he is the Spirit. He's the Father. It's all wrapped up in one. The fullness of the Godhead in him bodily. Colossians 2 and 9. When we have that understanding, sons of God, we will get this understanding. And we will not worship three gods. No such thing in the scriptures as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You will never find those phrases like that in any scripture from Genesis to Revelation. The next time you hear someone says God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you need to shrink in your heart. Say, what are they talking about? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, if they speak not according to this word, say, go back to the word and check it out. Say, God, there is no light in him. It is not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That makes it three gods. It is God, one God. Yeah, manifested himself in multiple ways. He manifested himself, revealed himself as the Father, revealed himself as the Son, revealed himself as the Holy Spirit in us, and even in the sons of God, the acts of the Father at the end revealed. Jesus said, the Father that is in me, he doeth the works. Well, likewise, the Holy Spirit that is in us, we're doing the works. When we have this understanding, that's what leads to the glorification. You can't get it otherwise. Even though he has said, I've given them the glory, many people will never enter into that glory who are believers because we do not have the understanding. Remember, you know, all that getting, get understanding. And God is a God of principle. There is nothing that's going to go against his principles. You know, so you got to get the understanding. And we have the understanding, you will know the truth. You know the truth, you get real liberty, real freedom to be able to soar high as eagles. But we must know who he is. Hallelujah. The same Jesus who was born as a child is also called the Everlasting Father in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Where religious systems and the myths throughout the ages tell you they are, you know, and Catholicism and all this stuff. And there are multiple gods because they love, you know, to split God up and worship multiple gods. But there's no such thing. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, there's this powerful statement that we are told. He said, you know, we know, I mean, you know, that, there are many, you know, there are many that are called gods and so forth. But unto us, there is but one God. There may be many. I mean, people have, you know, many gods, you know, that they serve, you know, they're called gods. But to us, we are serving only one God who is the Father of us all. You know, we don't serve three gods, four gods, five gods, you know, but there is only one God. Yeah. We must understand this. Unto us, a child is born, and unto us, a son is given. And this son, he goes out to become, you know, in the fullness of his son, you know, we see him in the fullness of the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 says, "For though there be many that are called gods, whether in heaven or that small g, or in earth, as there be many gods and many lords, but unto us, the sons of God, we understand that there is but one God." That's right. We have to have that understanding. There is but one God, Father of us all. That's it. Yeah. He is called the Father of us, and Jesus is called the Lord Jesus. And many scriptures talk about God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he puts it, always. Never God the Father and God the Son. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to us there is but one God, the Father of us all, in whom are all things, and we are in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we are by him. You know, so. But he said, how be it? There is not in every man that knowledge. You know, some people don't know it, even though we are believers. We don't have that knowledge. But we need, we must grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just Apostle Paul that wrote those things. Even Peter, you know, the very last sentence in the second epistle of Peter, which is the last one he wrote, he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We got to grow in that knowledge. The more you know of him, the more you can be like him. That's exactly what 1 John, you know, chapter 3 says. It says, when we see him, we shall be like him. In other words, the attributes of him that we learn and revealed and is revealed to us, you know, that's what we can become. The attributes of him that we learn of him. Remember, we are now the sons of God. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. "And it doth not yet quite appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, when he is revealed, when we understand his attributes, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." It is what you see in him, it is what you understand of him, it is what you adore in him that you can become. That's right. You know, you see his righteousness, you see his holiness, and we can become that. We can become the righteousness of God in Christ when we see and understand that in Christ. We see his heart of compassion, we can become that. You know, we see the thing, we see him in the attributes of his sonship, which we have been studying in this series, then we can become that. 1 John 5 and 20 says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding." That understanding is so key. "That we may know him that is true." That's right. We got to know him. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. "And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ." This, hallelujah, this Jesus Christ is the true God, and the knowledge of him is eternal life. That's it. Can't get it any other way. To know him is to love him. To love him is to serve him. To serve him and worship him and to reign with him. To live with him eternally. This is the true God and eternal life. And this knowledge, when we have it, that's what gives us the glorification. I'm going to pray over the room and leave it there. I'm right at the bottom of the hour, and that's it. This concludes our series on the glorification of these sons of God. Father, I thank you. I give you the praise and I give you the glory. And we honor you because it pleased you even from the beginning, you know, to call us your sons. It was in your mind. "They shall be mine, saith the Lord. In the day that I make up my jewels, shall be part of my royal diadem." her, and I will lose none of them. I thank you, Lord, because you have put upon us the Spirit of God and put inside us the very essence of the Lord God in His Spirit, teaching us, causing us to grow in Him from glory to glory. And Father, we know that the end state will be that we shall be like the Christ. For no disciple is greater than his master, but when he is perfect, he will be like the master. We thank you, Lord, that we will be like the Christ. The sons of God will be like the Christ in all things. And also the way same Christ was glorified, shall the sons of God, we also be glorified in him. The glory of God to be revealed in us. Thank you, Lord, that we are looking forward to it. And it's beginning now in our understanding of the things of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I pray, Lord, an understanding in the hearts of your children and an inspiration, an igniting of a fire, a kindling of a flame in us, that we will be like him. We want to be like him, function like him, and act like him. We thank you. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.